Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Peter and John were going up to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the established prayer time. Meanwhile, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day, people would place him at the temple gate, known as the Beautiful Gate, so he could ask people for money from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he began to ask them for a gift. Peter and John stared at him. Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gazed at them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I don't have any money, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." He grasped the man's right hand and raised him up. At once his feet and ankles became strong, and jumping up, he began to walk around. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same one who used to sit at the temple's beautiful gate asking for money. They were filled with amazement and surprise at what had happened to him. For the word in God and scripture, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Okay, turn to your hymnals for number 834, Tuma Mina, and don't stand.
Grace and peace to you from our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. This text today jumps from what Pastor Charlene preached about last week from the first chapter of Acts with Jesus' ascension, right over Pentecost, which we'll get back to in a couple of weeks, right, to today's text. Peter and John are two of Jesus's key disciples. And I found myself thinking about what state of mind they might have been in this moment. If it was just two chapters worth of time ago, Jesus, their beloved teacher and friend and companion, left them. They must have been wondering what it truly meant to be left behind, to be tasked with continuing living in this unjust world, and to follow in this path that Jesus had laid for them. When a community experiences the loss of a prominent person from their midst, there's a sizable hole remaining that feels significantly empty for quite a while. Wouldn't you agree? So I imagine Peter and John desperately trying to make sense of what in the world just happened over the past few weeks and how in the world they might continue living life as usual. I've been there. I wonder if you can remember a time when you've been there too. And thus, in this passage, we see these two friends doing something fairly normal, trying to continue in a business as usual way that doesn't quite feel normal. We hear that they were going to the temple at 3 o'clock, the established prayer time. And in modern Jewish life, there are 3 times a day where one is invited to stop and pray. And so this would have likely been that afternoon prayer service. And in this context, this also would have been when sacrificial offerings were made during the day, at the same time that communal prayer was being elevated. This was a daily norm. It wasn't a special event or experience. It was, let's say, a regular Thursday. And Peter and John were just going about their life, doing their routine. And as they're walking in, they ran across this man who was likely crippled since birth. Now, we get a little hint in Acts chapter 4, the 22nd verse, that this man who had been sitting at the gate was over 40 years old. This is a long-standing condition that he's likely lived with his whole life. And he situated himself at the beautiful gate, which doesn't necessarily have a specific significance other than that's what they called it. Which gate? Oh, you know, the beautiful one. So he's situated there so that he can ask for money from those entering the temple. In the Hebrew texts, which were culturally relevant to the temple goers in this context, you can't ignore that there are multiple and clear instructions that one is not meant to go about one's regular prayer and sacrifice and ignore the needs of people in the community around you. I would imagine that this meant the ailing man understood this location at the gate, outside the temple, with multiple times for prayer every day, as a place where a temple goer might be more clearly aware of their hypocrisy if their intention was not to give on their way to pray. A play on sympathies and context, perhaps, meeting this man's need for sustenance and funds for staying alive. So this has been what we can assume a decently long-standing practice of this man. He knows that if he is carried to the gate outside the temple, he'll likely appeal to some sympathies of temple goers and receive some gift of money or sustenance to help him survive. This is a pattern. He knows what's going to happen. Some folks likely share their alms with him, and others likely ignore him. It can't be an easy experience, day in and day out, but it gets the job done. He is alive. But along come these two men, Peter and John. And the man does what the man has always done. He asks them for money. But Peter and John, in their grief and in their memory of their recent past, in their remembering that Jesus has asked them to continue in his footsteps and do the work of peacemaking, justice-seeking, love of neighbor, show up differently. There's interruption here, friends. The crippled man's pattern of asking for money and receiving some or being ignored is not what happens. And Peter and John, attempting to enter the temple for routine prayer on a random Thursday, are interrupted by this man reaching out with his ask. And something really incredible happens. Peter and John both look directly at this man, and they ask him to look back. The disciples regard this man as equal. They look him in the eye, told him their truth, that they have no money to give, But instead, Peter takes a risk and offers the man what he most truly needs. He's seen, he's touched, and he's healed. Let's hear that again. The disciples regarded this man as equal. Looking him in the eye and grasping him by the hand, they offer him healing. And in this healing, we get the chance to see this man respond. He jumps up and goes on his newly strong legs and ankles with Peter and John straight into the temple to praise God. He doesn't jump down the steps and out the gate and run down the street celebrating. He doesn't cover his eyes and weep. He doesn't sit stunned and remain immobilized. He chooses to jump straight up and enter into the temple with his healers to praise God for this miracle. One thing I found myself wondering as I was preparing for the sermon today was if this man had ever been allowed in the temple before. I don't know if he had only ever been carried to the gate, if he had ever even sought to be carried inside. Perhaps that's a side note wondering that you and I can take with us into our weeks. Because in my opinion, the most profound gift of all, restoration of this man to his community, where he enters fully among them for what is likely the first time in his life, is a pretty massive miracle. If only our communities could be sources of healing in the world in the same way. Friends, Jesus' Spirit-soaked ministry continued with Peter and John and others as they moved through life, finding ways to continue to follow Jesus' teachings. And that ministry continues with us. In what ways do we, too, manifest God's love in action? What interruptions have you experienced in your life that have led to profound change and even miracles? How do we seek to support the remembering of humanity with those for whom that feeling has been lost or stolen or harmed? This is the first healing miracle in our holy text that they share with us after Jesus' ascension. And while we can sometimes read right through or right past it, there's gift in noticing the interruption, the disruption, the opportunity that presented itself to the followers of Jesus in the most mundane and ordinary of ways. As you go about your lives this coming week, I invite you to open your senses differently to the wonder of what it means to welcome interruption and perhaps find a miracle of healing within yourself or those around you. Amen and amen.